Holy Lord, we worship you this morning. You are worthy of our worship, Lord. We know, God, that you are the creator of heaven and earth. You made it just the way you said in your word. We're grateful today, Lord, that you are not just a God. You are the God, the one true God, the God of all gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And so we exalt the name Jesus is more than name above every name. And we thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins, for your resurrection on the third day, and for all that you do, Lord, as you ever live to make intercession for us, as you send your angels to encamp round about us, Lord, as you provide for us, Lord, and as you fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can be a light to others, Lord. God, we pray for your grace and mercy today. Let us have ears to hear today in Jesus' name. In fact, we're going to pray a Brownsville prayer this morning. Steve Hill used to always say this. Pray this with me. Lord, speak to my heart and change my life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, you may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It's going to be amen or old me today. All right. The one thing keeps coming to my mind. We're going to go to Matthew 23 first. So turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 is Jesus' rebuke to the Pharisees publicly. Now, we're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit of this. Y'all bear with my voice this morning. I have no fever or anything like that, but my voice is just not there exactly this morning. I don't know. We may entitle this today, Blind Christians. I know I did a message about a year ago or so, maybe more, about the blind leading the blind. You know, Steve Hill at the Brownsville Revival did one of his most well-known messages was White Cane Religion. I guess you could call this part two. But I'm a little weary. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm a little weary with blind Christians. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, maybe I should have more patience, but it's running thin. Let me tell you something. The Christians that think they see and see nothing, they are so locked into their denomination, of their indoctrination, they have forgotten to be humble and admit that, guess what? No matter how much we see, no matter how much we think we understand, no matter how much knowledge we think we have, the humble will always say, God, I know there's things I don't see. I know there's things I don't understand. I know there's things hidden from me, and I want to see them. Open my eyes. Open my understanding. Lord, lead me and guide me into all truth. That will never end or should never end in a Christian's life. The problem is, see, we forget, we think the Pharisees in the Bible, the New Testament, were just these ungodly sinners. No, that's not what they represent at all. In fact, Paul said that he served God, he was a Pharisee, and he served God in the strictest sect of the Jews' religion. So the Pharisees, their view, and remember, the Pharisees believed in angels and visions and the supernatural. The Sadducees rejected the resurrection. They rejected visions. Doesn't it sound kind of like today? Sounds like your Pentecostals and your mainstream evangelicals, you know, Protestant denominations. We got those that still believe and the power of God, that God still heals, that God still casts out demons through us, that God still does miracles, that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. But though, like the Pharisees, we experience very little of it. Uh-oh. And then you've got the people out there that say they're Christians that deny the power of God. They say God doesn't do those things anymore. He doesn't speak to his people anymore. He doesn't heal anymore. And those are the Sadducees. But the Pharisees, again, the Pharisees were looking for the Messiah. The Pharisees were meditating and reading and studying the Bible, the prophecies. And yet, when Jesus came on the scene, they were blind. They could not see the Messiah standing in front of them. The Messiah that they studied about, that they looked for, that they prayed for. To me, this is one of the saddest things in the whole Bible. But it's happening again. We have Christians now that really believe. I saw this, and this is kind of what I saw these posts. I saw Jordan commented on this post. Somebody in What's Happening in Opelika asked for a Reformed church. Where's a Reformed church? My Lord, that's not something you need to ask for. The Calvinist heresy churches are everywhere. It just depends on if you want Calvinist light in a Baptist church or you want the full thing in a Presbyterian church. But they're everywhere. And I just got to thinking about that. I saw some of the comments and I just got to thinking how blind some Christians are. I mean, think about this, folks. The Calvinists actually believe in limited atonement, meaning that Jesus only died for a few, the chosen, but not for all men's sin. The Bible says exactly the opposite. And yet, we got Calvinist, Reformed, whatever you want to call it, churches everywhere. See, I brought my sunglasses up here today. Let me tell you what that is, the Calvinist. I love Charles Spurgeon. I'm going to name my son Spurgeon. Please don't, for the rest of us. I have nothing to do with my salvation. You're right, you don't. I'm chosen to heaven, I think. Who can know? Blind, leading the blind. Calvin wrote the massive book, The Institutes of the Christian Religion. And if he was saved, I doubt he was. His salvation experience does not, his description of it's not biblical. So I doubt he was born again. He was probably a Roman Catholic plant more than anything else. But he wrote that. Let's just say he was saved. He wrote The Institutes of the Christian Religion as a baby Christian 1 year old in the faith. Blind, leading the blind. And I can't believe people are following him. After 500 plus years, they're still following. A man that had people who didn't agree with his theology burned at the stake with green wood. You know what the Bible says about somebody that murders you and think they're doing God a service? Says they don't. Jesus said they don't know me or my Father. Blind leading the blind. Calvin was a blind leader of the blind. He was a blind Christian. He tortured, had other Christians thrown in prison. He ruled with an iron fist in Geneva. And yet, somebody helped me find a Reformed Calvinist church in Opelika. God help them. What did Jesus say would happen to the blind that would follow the blind? Both would fall into the ditch. The ditch is hell, folks. You hear me? Somebody say the ditch is hell. Let's read this right here. Read this right. A little bit. Oh, wrong glasses. Here we go. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now let's stop right there. Jesus was saying they sit in Moses' seat of authority, that they were the spiritual leaders of the country, and that the things that they were teaching from the Bible, he said, you're supposed to follow that. Yes. He says, the scribes and the Pharisees, notice he left out the Sadducees. He didn't say they sat in Moses' seat because they didn't believe the scriptures. But he says, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe and do, but do not after their works. For they say and do not, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works, this is what blows my mind. Jesus said, all their works. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. This is something we need to realize. These blind Christians, these denominations, these false teachers, these whole false movements out there, that some of them started out right and now are in extreme error. He says, you don't enter in. You don't do what it takes to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. And those that are trying, you are hindering them. Boy, what gets in the way? What gets in the way of people more than dead Christianity? Blind Christians. Boy, I'm so tired of them. I'm like, Lord, open their eyes. They're blind in every area. They're blind when it comes to politics. They're blind when it comes to the scriptures. They're blind when it comes to, I mean, you just name it. They're just blind. They have no discernment. And when I say this, I'm not talking about spiritual sight, spiritual perception. I mean, physical or natural perception. I'm talking about we have to have spiritual sight, spiritual perception, discernment. Discernment, can I say, discernment has nothing to do with the physical. In fact, things in the physical or the natural world can look completely opposite. It can look like an angel of light and be Satan. And what we need more than anything else is to cry out to God and say, I want to be able to see, to perceive, to understand, to discern what is true and what is a lie. I think a lot of Christians are blind and deceived because they've never prayed. They've never made this, that God would open their eyes of their understanding and give them spiritual discernment, spiritual perception, because they don't make that the focus of their prayers because they think they see. They think their little denomination is right. It's sad. It's especially sad when there are things that are so clear in the Bible and yet they can't see them. I had one smart aleck, and I'm going to read this some more of this Matthew 23 in a second, but I had one smart aleck come on one of my posts about the write-in campaign I'm doing for governor and say, well, I guess I can write in Lindy Blanchard because at least she knows that the earth is round. And let me tell you, after 2 years of dealing with smart aleck Christians who are so blind and ignorant and don't realize that their religion is not Christianity, it is NASA. And their priests are the astronauts in their little suits and the men running around in their white jackets claiming to be scientists. No, you're priests. I'm sitting there thinking, I told that guy, I said, go do whatever you want to do. It's a free country for now. But I looked on his page, on his Facebook page. I clicked. I do that, too. Every time I get a smart aleck. Oh, he's posting all kind of scriptures and this. Big Facebook Christian anyway. A lot of those out there. Love posting scriptures. And I said, I came back and I said, oh, I see you're a Christian. I said, it's something that you don't believe your Bible when it comes to creation. What we got? Oh, here we go. Here we go. I'm a rocket man. We orbit the sun. Psalm 19 says the sun moves in a circuit over the earth. Come on, blind Christian. Your NASA priests tell you, oh, we're spinning, flying through an ever-expanding universe. God says the earth is still in at rest. Zechariah 1:11 says it's immovable. Oh, we got outer space. Yet God says the firmament is a solid crystalline dome in which the stars are attached. And Jesus said all the stars will fall. And Neil deGrasse Tyson mocks the Christians, saying, obviously the Bible's false because we know that's not true. And yet, the same Neil deGrasse Tyson says that concerning the cosmos, we are 96% stupid. I would say he's 100% stupid. It's missing mass, he says. Missing mass. No, it's no missing mass. It's called the firmament. And it's solid, which is mass. And Christians go, oh, NASA, we love you. See, to tell you the truth, I'm at the point now where I feel sorry for these Christians. Not only do they irritate me and they're smart alecks and their arrogance is really beyond the pale now, I really feel sorry for them at this point. Because it's not just about the nature of creation, but they're going to be deceived by this whole system. Because they don't listen to their Bibles. They don't put the Bible above man. They don't let God be true and every man a liar. My last campaign event up in Jasper, I had one of these Christians. I want to ask you a question about one of your beliefs. I'm like, oh boy, here it comes. We went for an hour discussing biblical creation. He said he was a Christian. And then I asked him the question. It was interesting because he kept being adamant about his belief in the spinning water ball flying through darkness. And I asked him a question. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, let me ask you another question. Have you ever been to space? No. I said, you ever been to the moon? Mars? No. I said, so, you're taking what other men have said that you can't see, that you haven't experienced. You're just taking what they have said. And you've put that above what God says. Therefore, what you have is not science. You are believing the word of another man. He's telling you what he saw or what he did or what he experienced. I said, so what you have is not science, because science is observable and repeatable and measurable. I told him, I said, what you have is religion. The belief in the heliocentric model is religion. It's a religion contrary to the Bible. Isn't it amazing that Christians take the words of former SS officers and Freemasons, 33rd degree high-level Freemasons, over the Bible? See, let me tell you something. We are going to have to believe what God said in this book. All of it, or we will be deceived. The moment you step away from it in any point, you open yourself to be deceived further every single time. I saw the same guy who was, at least Lindy knows. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I hung out with Lindy on the campaign trail pretty frequently. I wouldn't vote for her if she was the last candidate on earth. I'm not even going to go into details. But I thought, again, a Christian, zero perception, zero discernment, zero ability to understand what's going on around them, to know who's who, who's really serving God, who's not, what's the truth. It's sad. But folks, I want to tell you right now, if you want to see, you want your spiritual eyes open, you want discernment, you want to be able to perceive and understand and know the truth, it's something you have to ask for. You have to humble yourself. You have to be able to say, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about something. Or maybe I don't know. You know, one of the things that I found, and some people have appreciated this about me, whether it be in asking me theological or Bible questions or asking me questions on the campaign trail. If I didn't know, I didn't make up crap. I just said, I don't know. I'll look into that. People ask me, they say, what do you think about the 144,000? I don't know. It says they're Jews and they're virgins and they stand before the throne of God and play harps at some point. That's all we know. What do you think that they could be actual ethnic or Jews or they're spiritual? I said, I don't know. And nobody knows. The Jehovah Witnesses are convinced it's them. No, it's not. We don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know. How many times reading the Bible in 35 years have I said, God, I don't understand this. I don't get this. Please help me understand this. Please show me. So I want to tell you right now. Do I know everything? No. Do I understand all mysteries? Do I have all knowledge? No. But I have a lot. But I'm going to tell you why. It's because I study, and would ask, and fast and pray, and say, God, please show me the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know where they're lying to me in the world. I don't want to be deceived. But there's Christians that just, la, 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 la. Let me follow a blind guide. Oh, they went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. That means they are correct. No. They were teaching at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas in the late 60s and 70s that the first 11 chapters of Genesis was a true myth. That the theological implications were true, but there probably wasn't a man named Noah. There probably wasn't a man named Adam. Can you imagine what they're teaching now? And these are the people that were training your pastors of your Baptist churches out there. I wonder how many Baptist pastors anymore even believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I'm just being honest. Oh, I'm sure that a lot of them would tell you publicly that they do, but privately they don't. Why do you think that you as a Christian, sincere, godly Christian, loving God's word, loving the truth, can find out a truth in the scriptures and take it to these pastors and they dismiss you, even want to throw you out of the church over something clearly in the Bible? Because it isn't about believing the Bible for them. It's about building a social club. It's about building a little empire. They went to the seminary for a job. Oh, yeah, you can get rich in religion. You can get real rich. Some of the biggest charlatans ever. I remember. Who was it? Who was the ones talking about in college? They were going to, one of them said, I'm going to be a preacher. I don't want to get it wrong. All I know is he decided in college as a heathen that he was just going to be a preacher to make money. Ended up pulling in $80 million a year. $80 million. Tithes and offerings. $80 million a year. Blind following the blind. And then there's that Mike Murdoch. Now, he's the crook of the crooks right there. Anybody heard of Mike Murdoch? If you have, run away. Run away. Goodness gracious. Blind leading the blind, both falling into the ditch, don't they? Let's read that. We're talking about it. Why don't we read it? I'm just having fun today. Is that okay? Let's skip over. Jesus speaks to them. Oh, how many times? You know, I people have gotten on to me. They think, oh, you know, I got in a debate on Twitter with this liberal Democrat girl who's running for some office here in the state, or was, I don't know. Anyway, oh, she was just like, you're just too, you know, I said that Yolanda Flowers, the Democrat nominee, was the weakest nominee I've ever seen the Democrat Party put up in the state. And that she was afraid to debate me. All true. When she found out I was going to be in the debate in Huntsville, she bailed out at the last minute. Even though we already all had all the questions, she still didn't want to debate me. She was scared of that 1 minute rebuttal I'd get on each question. So I'm saying this and challenging these people. I challenged Kay Ivey and Yolanda Flowers to a debate on Twitter, tagged them. All I got is crickets. Again, scared of truth. But I get accused sometimes of being too harsh. Know what Jesus said to these people? Jesus said to these, says, let's go down to, I think I stopped at verse 13. Let's go to verse 14. What would you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? So we called them hypocrites. You devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. So he looked at them and told them, you're going to hell, and actually it's going to be worse for you than other people. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass or go around sea and land to make one proselyte or one convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. So Jesus just called them children of hell. Hypocrites, children of hell. All of this is open game, see? If Jesus did it, let's remember, Jesus never sinned. Jesus always walked in perfect love. And yet he's calling these boys hypocrites. They're going to have greater damnation. They're children of hell. And then he says, verse 16, woe unto you blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And notice, this was not scripture. They just make crap up, yeah. Right? And what did Jesus say to him? Verse 17, ye fools and blind, ye fools. Oh, well, wait a minute. I thought we weren't supposed to call people fools. No, it's different. The word fools, where Jesus said that, when he said we're not supposed to call people fools, means basically we're sentencing them saying they have no hope. So that's basically looking at somebody and saying that there's no hope for you. That's what he said. Don't ever do that. Because there's hope for the worst of the worst. But people are fools. There are some people are fools, and some people are really fools. And Jesus called them fools. Now, would Jesus call them fools and then tell us not to call anybody a fool? No. Y'all got to understand there's a difference. I remember looking these words up a long time ago. So guess what? Every now and then, I look at somebody and go, yes, you are a fool. You are certainly not wise. So you can figure out the other. We can use King James, brutish. Stupid. Right? But there are people, you know, Peter said there are people who are willingly ignorant. What is willingly ignorant? Willingly ignorant means you could easily know the truth and accept the truth and speak the truth, but you choose not to. For this they are willingly ignorant, he said. Let's keep reading. It's too good. He said, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon, and whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, he called them, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Boy, I tell you what. Well, let me show you straining at a gnat. You want to see straining at a gnat? We must be a reformed Calvinist. We must accept Calvin. He was part of the Reformation of the 1535. But he burned people at the stake who didn't agree with him. You see what I'm saying? I don't care what kind of theologian he was or how much he wrote. He burned people at the stake over green wood. Did it over green wood so it would take longer for them to die. And yet, people are following. Oh, Pastor Dean, you're too harsh. So I can't go to church at Fire and Grace. I'm going to go to the mega church. Well, you go on and get your candy, cotton candy and Kool-Aid. Go ahead. That's what you're going to be living on. Oh, fools. Didn't Jesus talk about there's going to be five wise and five foolish? And he's talking about the church, the virgins. Five wise and five foolish. Foolish follow these blind guides. They don't look at the scriptures. You know, and I looked at that guy, you know, the guy that got smart with me and said, Lindy, at least Lindy knows the shape of the earth, or the earth is round. And I thought to myself, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Yeah, it's round like a pizza. But see, again, folks, people say, you say, well, people think you're crazy because you believe this. I'm going to tell you right now, If creation is not like the Bible says it, then how can we trust the Bible about Jesus? Or about heaven and hell or eternity or how to deal with sin? Is Jesus God in the flesh? Did he live a sinless life? Did he die on the cross? Did he rise from the dead? Would science accept any of these things? Modern science say any of these things are possible? That God would become flesh, born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die on the cross, be raised from the dead, appear 40 days, ascend to heaven. They say our faith's fairy tales. I say their faith's fairy tales. Oh, the deception is growing, folks. They got the flu jabs coming for you, mRNA. They're going to release some more biological weapons and make everybody get it. Oh, they're coming out with them as fast as they can come out with them now. They're going to have an mRNA vaccine for pneumonia. I mean, they'll have it for the sniffles. Take an mRNA vaccine for the snot nose. People are dropping like flies, folks. People are dying left and right. And it's amazing. Dr. Peter McCullough just lost his license. And all a man did was tell the truth. Folks, you want to talk about living in George Orwell's 1984? We are in it. If you hadn't read that book in a long time, you probably ought to reread it. And be like, come on, let's go down to the Highlands and get our fifth booster shot. That's coming. Oh, he said it. He said it. Yep. Yeah, they'll be giving them out here before long. Yep, the big churches are all going to start telling you, obey the government. Do what the government says, no matter what. That's an abuse. That's a complete twist of Romans 13. The only government you follow is the one that's righteous, not the one that's wicked. Well, we were just following orders when we killed all those Jews. No. You're not getting off. God never condoned following a government to genocide. And let me tell you something. Every time a government turns wicked, it turns to genocide. It turns to mass murder. Every time. And we got it throughout history. And we think that where we're going now, the evil. Y'all want me to blow your mind how bad it's getting? I got it right. I got it on my phone. I should have sent it to Kelsey. She could put it up. Article where the McLaughlin group just did a test. A survey of basically young people in college about should people who exercise their free speech but say things that you don't like or agree with, should they be executed? Executed. The death penalty. 48% said yes. America is gone, y'all. So what they're meaning is if you don't agree with their LGBTQ, if you don't agree with the narrative, whether it be on vaccines, if you dare be different. I mean, even now the Democrats coming up, Here's what the Democrats, Obama and them, been running around. If you vote for Republicans, it's time. It's over. Democracy is at stake. And I'm sitting here going, you jokers are the ones trying to implement socialism, communism, and globalist UN agenda, and we're trying to stop it. And there's Christians out there going, oh, let me get the right glasses. Yeah, let me go vote for China Joe. And let me go ahead and tell you, especially in the black church, blindly vote for people who are pro-LGBTQ, pro-abortion, communist, socialist, and still vote for these people and call yourself a Christian. The Democrat nominee right here in Alabama, Yolanda Flowers, puts out all kind of scripture, talk about pray, fast for Alabama, talks the Christian talk. She's pro-choice. She's for abortion. She's promoting, she's retweeting Kamala and Joe. And there's in the Christians. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go vote for Yolanda. Really? I'm gonna tell you something right now. If you're still listening to CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, and 99% of what's on Fox News, or the New York Times, or the Washington Compost, the Atlantic, what is it, the Atlanta Journal and Constipation, the Boston Globe, don't you love that one? If that's what you listen to, you're being brainwashed every single day. You're being brainwashed. Oh, especially Hollywood. You listen to Hollywood. And even the Chosen actor. Oh, let me go ahead. It's time to deal with Chosen. Here we go. Oh, it's so wonderful. Chosen is so wonderful. Oh, I just love the guy that plays Jesus. My daughter, Faith, you know, she's had a fever for a week. She's been looking up stuff. She has said, Dad, Chosen, I guess because they just come out with a third season. She said, people are now calling the guy that plays, I can't remember his name, but the guy that plays Jesus, people are now calling him Jesus. Like, thank you, Jesus. Now, let me just go and tell you something right now. The guy that produces the show and started the show, what's his name? His daddy was Left Behind series writer. LaHaye and the other one. Anyway, he just got through saying that Mormonism was okay. Now, let me tell you what this is. I watched the first season. There's some pretty good depictions of things. But then they always, why? I don't know why. I guess it's because the devil's in them. They always start taking liberties and getting off the Bible. Like, I remember the Bible series. Remember what was that woman's name? That was, I'm an angel from God. What was that show she was on? Touched by an Angel. And her and her husband, no, Della Reese was one of them, but Downey, Roma Downey, and her husband did the Bible series. And they got Jesus walking into the tomb of Lazarus and kissing Lazarus on the head. No. No. Under the old covenant that Jesus was still walking under, a Jew would never walk into a tomb and kiss a dead body and touch a dead body. That's why the Bible says he stood outside the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. That's why Jesus, as the high priest and the prophet and the Messiah, told everybody else, go loose, take his grave clothes off him. Jesus didn't touch him. That's Bible. But we got Christians. Oh, I remember the Bible series, Roman Downey. I remember Sodom and Gomorrah. They depicted that getting destroyed because there was some heterosexual sin going on. They left out the whole homosexual angels want to men want to rape the men, look at angels and want to rape Lot. All that was left out because we can't offend the homosexuals. Can't offend homosexual sin for sure. But y'all know, look, the guy they picked to be Jesus in the Chosen admits openly that he is a Knights Templar Jesuit. And he's leading prayer meetings to Mary through his social media. So Chosen is being used to lead people astray into idolatry and necromancy and everything else by an admitted Knights Templar Jesuit. And the Christians are, oh, Chosen. Oh, I can't wait for it. I'm going to binge watch it all 15 times. I just saw the comedian John Crist? Now, I remember a few years ago, me and my wife both. He's a funny guy. Claimed to be a Christian comedian, right? Oh, the Christian community is what made him famous. But the whole time, he's drinking, cheating, having sexual immorality with other people's wives, other men's wives. And I heard an interview of him this week by a Christian radio station host. And he was like, well, you know, I was really only doing what most men in their 30s do. And then he mentioned the author, emerging church heretic, Don Miller. And I said, oh, there it is. He's a disciple of the emerging church, Blue Like Jazz author, Don Miller. And that whole group believes you can just live however you want to live, if as long as you just believe in Jesus. And you don't even have to be strict about the Jesus you believe in. Blind leading the blind. I remember when that book, back in the mid-2000s, that book was one of the hottest selling books in Christianity, and it's heresy. It's false doctrine. It's straight from the mouth of seducing spirits and demons. And yet Christians eating it up. Eating it up. But I want to have my sin and Jesus too. You can't. Or you're a blind fool if you believe that. But I'm once saved, always saved, Pastor Dean. No, you're not. You're only once saved, always saved if you endure to the end, if you overcome, if you don't succumb to temptation. I'm not going to hit you, brother. I'm pretty good with stuff like this. I'm going to show you a prayer we should pray. Is that all right? I love this prayer. I pray it over myself, and I pray it for you guys all the time. You should pray it for yourself. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I just love it. Let's go down to, we'll just read verse 15. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your love, or I heard of your faith, rather, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's my prayers for you. And he's speaking to Christians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Say the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I love it. He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That's his miracle power. The word dunamis there. To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. But notice this again. He says, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I pray this all the time. For myself, I pray it for you. You should be praying this for yourself all the time. Open my eyes to see what I need to see in your word, God. Help me understand what I don't understand. Help me perceive what I'm not perceiving. I love about you read the Gospels, and Jesus would be preaching, and people would be gathered around. There'd be Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and scribes and regular folks, and it says Jesus would perceive their thoughts. He would know exactly what they were thinking. That's being in tune with the Holy Spirit. I remember on the debate stage, one of the debates, I won't say which one of the candidates sitting next to me, I'd wondered about him. Plays the Christian. But I remember after I spoke, I felt the evil spirits come off of him and hit me. And what's so funny is that everybody believes this guy is Mr. Sweetheart. I felt some dark evil come off of him. Of course, later on, I found out some things. But I perceived what he was. We were in a meeting up in Huntsville, just a GOP meeting. We met one of the state elected officials. And you could feel the most powerful evil darkness come off this person right at you. And everybody thinks he's a wonderful Christian man. Discernment. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, I'm convinced because I prayed this prayer here, and I always ask the Lord for this. I'm convinced that's why God opened my eyes to see the truth about creation. Because I was deceived by my years of public school and college and everything else, just like everybody else, and the media. Boy, if anybody would have asked me before October 2015 if I believed the whole Bible, I would have said, absolutely, 100%, I believe the Bible above man. You want to talk about a humbling moment when I saw I didn't? But it's a good humbling moment. I'll tell you what it made me do. I will never believe them about anything else ever again. Let God be true and every man lie. Let's put that verse up from Romans. Just so you can see it. I know it's funny. Some people don't like to sit in the front row for this reason. The funniest story is we had a family that used to sit right here. And one day I had a table set up and it had, you know, it had coins in a basket and it had a whip sitting on it. Well, obviously the wife didn't pay attention and didn't realize what was about to happen right in front of her. But I remember when I took the first that took that whip and had the table set up, you know, on a plastic table, and you hit it, whoop-ow! She about jumped over the seats. And then, of course, she still didn't see it coming. And when I walk over and throw the table over right here, she about jumps again through the ceiling. Front row, you never know what you're going to get. That's right. Get some anointing. Remember, Jesus spit in the mud and put it on a blind man's eyes. So maybe you need to go outside and spit in some mud. They'd call us crazy if we did that, but that's exactly what Jesus did. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Let's I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. Did you put that verse up? There we go. Let's read that while you're turning there. But there it is. Romans 3:4, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. It is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Ooh. Boy, the context of that is that you might overcome. That you might be justified. I can't remember what that verse is now. Look it up for us. Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs or Psalm, but there is no counsel or wisdom against the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Christian who does not believe that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the inspired, God-breathed, infallible words of Almighty God, they're already deceived. They will follow the Antichrist when he comes. They will take the mark of the beast. They'll take the mark of the beast and hate you for not taking it. Y'all remember me read something? Hold on a second. I got to read something. Well, let me read this first, I guess. I guess we'll go to... Oh, what did I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I think it's chapter 1. Maybe chapter 2. I'm tired today. Yeah, here it is. Chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verse 6. First, we'll read this, and I'm going to share something with you. I don't know, man. I'm just rolling with the flow this morning. I don't want you to be blind Christians. Right? I'll tell you what would be awesome. Buy a bunch of blind man canes and go pass them out at churches all over the city. That might be an outreach that we do. Hey, here you go. You're going to need this. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians had a lot of blind spots. They were saved. They were spirit-filled. But they had a lot of sin going on. They had a lot of idolatry. They had a lot of problems. They had a lot of issues going on in the church. And Paul trying to tell them. Well, let's just read from verse 1. And I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now this means that Paul's words were anointed and also confirmed with miracles, but primarily that his words were anointed and powerful by the Holy Spirit. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Hear this. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes, and he's talking about the fallen angels, Satan, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Ooh, somebody say there's the spirit of the world. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. That we and notice he says might know. Somebody say might know. Might. It's possible, but it's also possible you might not. That you might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, or we could say the carnal man, the fleshly man, the flesh nature, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges or discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, lost my cane here. The natural man, somebody say this, the natural man. Even if you're a Christian, and remember he's talking to Christians. Even if you're a Christian, you still have the natural man. Remember I talked about that last week, the evil twin. You still have the natural man. And if you read Romans 7 and 8, you'll find out that you can choose as a Christian to walk in the carnal mind and in the carnal nature. You choose that. Well, that goes for discernment as well. There are people who, Christians, who have chosen that their only perception of things is what's in the natural world. They have no spiritual discernment, no spiritual perception, because they have not sought it. And I want to tell you right now that it takes time to develop your spiritual senses. Not saying a baby Christian, God can give a baby Christian discernment, but if you're going to walk in it consistently, there is something you must pray for, that you must ask for, that you must meditate on, that you must get the scriptures down in you about, that you must begin to file things. When you do discern or perceive something by the Holy Spirit, you need to mark those things. Sometimes I would say make sure you have a journal and you write these things down so that you start learning when it's the Holy Spirit operating in you. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit is a still, small voice, very subtle, very quiet. Almost like, was that me? What was that? Some of the most profound things God has spoken to me and revealed to me have been like a gentle breeze went by me. And I could have ignored it easily. Say, why does he do that? Maybe it's kind of like when we want our children to really listen to us. And they're looking all over the place. You're like, no, look at me. Look at me. Listen. It's amazing sometimes at lowering your voice. You know, Biden's tried this, but it's just creepy coming from him. But sometimes lowering your voice, people like finally tune in and go, let me pay attention. God wants us to be sensitive, discerning, spiritual people, not carnal, natural people. Notice he said that the natural man, he said the carnal man, the carnal mind, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness to him, like the earth is still in at rest. It's not spinning, flying. Because they've been indoctrinated by the world. You know, I love what Romans says about them. Professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. We know there's a black hole out there sucking everything into it. Never seen it. Can't show it to me. Oh, but we can see it. Really? Show me. Where is it? No, you can't show it to me. You're making up crap. Black holes. No, there's a black hole, all right. It's called the bottomless pit. And it's in hell below your feet. And that's where you're going. If you don't repent. It's where Satan's going to be chained for a while. Black holes. I think about all this stuff. All this stuff we believe. We did believe is not this church anymore. Hallelujah. Dark matter and dark energy. They had to make up because they can't explain the universe. Michio Kaku. You know, if we're off by a factor of 10, that's bad in science. But when it comes to cosmology, we're off by a factor of 10 to the 120th power. But that's who we should listen to. When they even admit they're off by 10 to the 120th power. You know why they're off to 10 to the 120th power? It's because they left this right here. The Word of God is the only pure truth in this world. And anything that gets away from it, deviates from it, moves away from it is a lie. That's why I said to you a few weeks ago, and the Lord told me to tell you, if you don't know this book really well, you're going to be deceived. You hear me? So many are falling away, folks. Because their Christianity is lived out in the natural carnal mind. In the natural carnal man. And we were meant to be spiritual beings. I remember back in the old days, they used to say, when people started teaching, like Watchman Nee and others, on the spirit, soul, and body, and the differences between the spirit, soul, and body, the three distinct things. And I remember when people were teaching on that, and they would say, you are a spirit, first and foremost, primarily. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. But to everybody else, the body and the physical world becomes the dominant thing because that is what we see all the time. It has to be a choice. I remember a long time ago, I said, Lord, I want to see. Oh, I want to see. Has that been your priority as a Christian? I want to see. Now, even in this room, there's still some of you that's stubborn. Some things I've tried to teach some of you, and you still don't want to see it because you got some previous indoctrination. I understand that. Hopefully, God will crack you over the head with this. And you'll begin to see. I won't crack you over the head with it. The Lord sometimes will have to smack you, deal with that stubbornness. And let me tell you something. You know what? I tell people all the time, pastors, ministers, fivefold ministers, our job is simply to point you to look at things that maybe you're not looking at. Because it's still your responsibility to read the Bible and make sure what you're being taught is Scripture. And it's not it's in context, and it's not contradicted, and the definitions of the words are correct. It's your job. You got to stay checked on that. But folks, let me tell you, it's bad if you're led to truth and you don't accept it. Where is there to go from there? If you're led to the truth on something, and you say no, the only place left to go is a lie. Serious stuff here. Oh, I could go all day on this stuff. It's only 12:15, y'all. Did somebody actually fix the clock back there? It's actually correct. Man, y'all are on top of it. Lord, let us see. Go to one more scripture and we'll stop. Go to Revelation chapter 3. You know that same guy that was talking about he's going to vote for Lindy. He's going to write in Lindy because she knows the earth's round. I found on his page he still believes the pre-trib rapture. I was like, oh boy, this joker's again for a rude awakening. But Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Now, this is to the church of Laodicea. Everybody knows about this. This is the lukewarm church. But there's part of this that everybody forgets. In fact, I've never heard anybody in my life preach on it except me, this part of this. Now, there may be some out there that have, but I just never heard it. But let's read it. He said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee or vomit thee out of my mouth. Here he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, you knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. This is Jesus telling a church they are blind. Their lukewarmness put them in a place not just to compromise with sin. It put them in a place not to seek God with all their heart for revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would hear his voice, that they would perceive and discern what's going on in the spirit realm and who's serving God and who's not. Jesus says, you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Boy, that's America, isn't it? Aren't we blessed with goods? For a while now. It ain't going to last much longer. He said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Jesus said, you don't know. Somebody say, you don't know. He's telling the church, you don't know. See, this is, they were blind to the fact they were blind. They were blind to the fact that they were really poor, even though they were rich in worldly goods. That they were spiritually poor. They were blind that they were naked and didn't have the robe of righteousness on or the armor of God on. They thought they were fine. Folks, that describes 99% of American Christians. They think they are fine and they are blind, naked, poor, wretched, and miserable because they are not seeking God with all their heart. Their spiritual eyes are not opened. And they're the blind leading the blind and following the blind. And they're headed for the ditch. Now, Jesus, think about this. Jesus has to appear to the Apostle John, who's also operating in this part as a prophet, sees a vision, caught up into heaven, and this the true reality of the church of Laodicea is revealed. The church of Laodicea thought, we're great, man. We got a good old church going here. You're going to go to Walmart, boop, get your stuff. Get your little chip scan in your head and your forehead. Yeah, you're going to have a good time at Walmart. Yeah, that's the local mega church, Chris Hodges, Highlands. Boop, you're going to get your stuff. Laughing it up. Ha, 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 ha. See, this is what's so scary. But they got people going to stand before God. But I was reformed. We said God like this, God. But we were the chosen. They thought they were fine. Jesus says, no, you don't know. You're blind. You're poor. You're wretched. See, I love Jesus. Didn't cut. He never candy coats the truth, the reality of how it is. Then that's because you know why he doesn't candy coat it? It's because he cares about you. Candy coating it does not help you. He says you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable. You're naked. I think about that right there. Spiritually, he was telling them, you don't have anything covering your flesh. Your flesh is just out there. You're glorying in the flesh. You're just living in the flesh. And let me tell you, I want to tell you one action of just living in your flesh. We think of living in the flesh as, oh, I'm having an affair, or I'm living in sexual immorality. And yes, that's those things are true. But let me tell you, a big living in the flesh, I do what I want to do when I want to do it. Exactly. Here's what Jesus said. I counsel thee. I love that. You want some advice, Jesus said. I'm going to give you some advice. To buy of me gold tried in the fire, meaning you endure the trials, the tests, the temptations, and overcome them so that you have some pure gold in you. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, and white raiment, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that you may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit in your life. To do that, you have to ask. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit and I speak in tongues and all that stuff. Well, that's wonderful and dandy. That's just fine. And you could be a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian and dry up. And you can stop seeking to be sensitive, discerning, hearing, to have your blinders taken off. So Jesus gave them some advice in Laodicea. Now get this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. And here's the verse used in salvation tracts to give to lost sinners. And it has nothing to do with that. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Let me tell you what door Jesus is standing at and knocking to get in. 99.9% of the churches in America. He's outside. And they don't know it. That's why living on a prayer by Bon Jovi is the worship song. That's why most of your worship leaders are homosexuals. Ouch. That was a problem in the 80s. I can't imagine now. To him that overcometh, Jesus is going to say, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Here's an amazing thing, that Jesus did not appear to the church. He did not appear to the pastor of the church. But yet he sent a message. He sent a message through probably the best person he could have sent it through for them at that time. The last living apostle. The original apostles. You know why he did that? He could have appeared to the pastor. He could appear to the whole church. But he did that because, first of all, he wanted them to respect him. But But he wanted them to just be able to receive it from another person. Sometimes God brings you a message you need from another person. Say, well, I'm going to wait God to speak to me personally. Well, he may. He may not. Sometimes your ears, your spiritual ears are so clogged and your spiritual eyes are so blind, he's got to bring somebody along to kick you in the pants and shout in your ear for him. He does that sometimes. I believe all of God's people can hear his voice. But how will he do that? Sometimes he speaks directly to you, dream, vision, still small voice, many different ways. But sometimes he sends somebody to you. And you better discern if God's talking through somebody else. That's why he says, despise not prophesying. Though every now and then, look, there's some people out there I consider kooky, goofy prophets. They're all over the place. But even broken clocks, right, twice a day. Right? And sometimes even those Christians who are out there floaty, magoaty, whatever, you know, they're just animaniacs, charismaniacs. Every now and then they get it right. So even some of them I listen to. There's a prophecy I just heard. I won't get into it. But I listen to it. And with prophecies, we're supposed to test them. We're supposed to see. But sometimes I'll even say, well, you know, my wife and I heard a prophecy from this lady we're not too sure about. But I thought, that's an odd, you know, that's an odd thing. It was very specific, very interesting. And I said, we'll see. I said, but I won't despise it, because God may actually speak through her. He can speak through a donkey if he wants to. God may actually be speaking through her about this. But we just put it on the shelf and say, okay, we'll see. If it comes to pass, then, you know, she got it right. Well, you got to discern everything. I guess I need to quit. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to keep y'all here all day. Let me say this, and we will close. He said, he that overcomes these things, you got to overcome them. And the only way you overcome them is to make sure you repent of your sin, because we all fall. We all fall down. We all get discouraged. We all get depressed. We all get weak at times. This is not even what Jesus is talking about. He understands we struggle. That's why he said in this, and I love it, repent. Now, Joseph Prince would tell you, oh, here we go again, hang on. The Asian Joel Osteen. You don't have to repent as a Christian. All your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Yet Jesus told the whole church, repent. Jesus or Joseph Prince? But guess what? That Jesus, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future nonsense? That's Charles Stanley, one of the First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia, for many years, the most famous Baptist preacher in the world. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, future. No. You have to confess your sins and you repent of your sins. Jesus told this church to repent, and he said to them, to those who overcome this, meaning you don't continue to be blind, naked, wretched, poor, and miserable. You overcome that by drawing near to the Lord, by hearing his voice, by becoming obedient. That's repentance. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The quickest way to get your eyes open is to repent of sin. Repent of lukewarmness. Repent of laziness. Repent of lusting. Repent of neglecting. Repent. And it's not hard to do. You know, the Lord just said, once, Lord, you know, yeah, I've been wasting time. I've been doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. I should have been spending that time with you, Lord. Forgive me. I want to see. I want to hear. I want to be clothed. Came from. This is actually not my original one, but it worked. Had to have a little illustration today. Help y'all remember. Don't be blind, Christians. You can be. You could choose to be. Yeah, I remember that old song. Matter of fact, let's do that old song. Because I was thinking about that from the worship time on. That's an old one from back, man. Is that from the 80s? Or the 70s? 70s? Yeah. There's some old ones that were good. But let's stand this morning. And we're going to sing that song before we get out of here. But I want to pray first. Father in heaven, I pray right now in Jesus' name for my brothers and sisters that are here today, those watching and listening all over the world. Lord, I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that you would open their spiritual eyes, that today, Lord, if there's any darkness, if there's any hidden things, if there's any, Lord, anything going on, it should be going on in their lives. If they're lukewarm and they don't realize it, I pray today the message they've heard will open their eyes, that they'll be zealous and repent, and that, Lord, you'll begin a process of moving them into a places where they have spiritual discernment, spiritual revelation, spiritual perception, where they have true spiritual discernment, God, where they hear your voice, where they recognize when you're revealing things. Lord, you want to reveal things. I pray this for my brothers and sisters today. You know, I asked the Lord the other day. I said, I was praying this. And I said, Lord, I just feel like there's some things you want to show me I'm not seeing right now. And I am not kidding you. I just opened my Bible to start reading it, and it fell open to Jeremiah 33:3, where the Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I looked up the Hebrew words, great and mighty things. It means things that are high and hidden. And I was like, okay, Lord. See, that's when Christianity is fun. When God starts talking to you and revealing things to you and teaching you the word, that's when it's fun. Amen. Let's do this song. Go ahead and give him praise. Give him praise. Lord, let us see you. Reveal your glory. Manifest your presence. Lord, we pray that the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be stirred up in our lives and flow. We want to hear you. We want to experience you. Lord, we thank you that, God, you didn't make our faith just a blind faith, Lord. Just to believe a creed. But Lord, to believe the truth of your word and then experience your glory, your presence, your power, your voice, the gifts of your spirit. We pray for all these things, Lord, that we may see, that we may discern, that we may perceive, that we may walk in the spirit and be led by the spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. All righty. I expect to hear good things. All right, here's the drill. Y'all know, hug some necks before you leave. If you're going to stay, you want to eat downstairs, fellowship, go get what you want to eat, come back, and hang out for a while. All right, God bless.